Good afternoon. The rumbling you might hear in the background is a thunderstorm, not my stomach. And, oh, come on, Dixie, it wasn't that bad.
The sound you just heard were my eyes rolling back in my head.
Welcome to A Podcast Runs Through It. As you can tell, we're a local group. And what we try to do every other week is bring to you, well, stories from the area, but mainly we concentrate on the political. And right now, because we're going into the 2020 election season, we are getting as many of the candidates, in this case, often primary candidates, to come and talk to us. And we do an interview. Today, we'll be interviewing Tom Woods.
And Tom Woods is running for?
Public Service Commission. And we hope that these interviews are there longer than the average, but they give the candidate a chance to say why they decided to run for an office, what kind of issues they have, and have complete sentences or complete thoughts in any case. So it gives you hopefully a chance to have a little more insight into who these candidates are. The primaries are important. It's everybody's responsibility by the primaries, which are next June in 2020, to know who these candidates are and why you want to vote for one over another one. And it doesn't matter whether you're Democrat or Republican, it's the same responsibility. So, by the way, we're enjoying interviewing these people because you really do get a chance to get some interesting questions and have them say where they, not only that they stand behind a certain issue, but why they stand behind that certain issue and the background to it, too. So, with that in mind, let's continue with today's interview. Well, welcome, Tom Woods.
Thank you. Good to be here.
Talking to candidates who are running for state office, one shape or another, in your case, you're running for the Public Service Commission.
That's right.
And the big thing about that, I think we put it together with offices such as the Secretary of State and the Attorney General of the state and the Public Service Commission. These are underappreciated positions. By that I mean they have a lot of power, they can do a lot of things, they affect many lives, and yet when it comes to elections and we vote people in, we frequently have no idea who they are, mm-hmm. or what they stand for, or even what they do when they get there. So in your case with the Public Service Commission, I hope you'll tell us, you know, what does the PSC do and what would you do when you're there? But let's start with, you know, where you're coming from and how you got into running for the Public Service Commission and a little bit of your background. Montanans are pretty picky about that.
I'd say. Actually, I was not born in Montana. I didn't have that choice. I was born in Cleveland, Ohio, which, like I said, I didn't have a choice. It was cold, gray, and violent, and I came out here when I was 19 years old because I had a job tending bar, and I loved it so much I've stayed since. Worked a couple years as a bartender, a few years as a bus driver. I ran a bus service out of Yellowstone Park and a snow coach service in Yellowstone. I was a bellhop, and then I got into hotel management for a few years. After that, I went back to school, and since then, I've been a teacher, a science teacher. I teach physics at Montana State University, molecular biology at times, kind of a utility infielder for Montana State University. And then a couple days a week, I'm a substitute special ed teacher in the Bozeman Public School System, which is really a treat. It's tough work, but very rewarding. So that's where I've come from. I've settled in Bozeman in 97 and seen a lot of changes in the town. Some of them good, some of them not so great, but it's been a great ride. And the state has been really good to my wife and I and our kids. And as a legislator, I feel like I've given back to the state and trying to do my job and do it well.
So what made you make the transition from the legislature to running for Public Service Commission?
I represent the south side of Bozeman, have done so for four terms, and due to term limits, then I can't return to that job. I call it the worst job I've ever loved and really enjoyed it. And I spent a lot of time as a legislator trying to make this process of utility billing more fair. And in doing that, I've happened upon a lot of things in Montana code that really make the process unfair to consumers and really benefit the utility monopolies, Northwestern Energy in particular. So that's my reason for running for the Public Service Commission. It's one of those jobs that nobody knows what they do, and but we all end up paying for it when the PSC fails to do its job. And, you know, I'm going to assert that it's failed to do its job.
Yeah. So what was the... Well, I know from your track record that you've been watching the Public Service Commission, particularly the energy-related stuff, for a long time.
Right.
And I'm assuming that you have a pretty deep commitment to that aspect of the job. But maybe since people are relatively unfamiliar with the Public Service Commission, tell us a little bit about the organization. I mean, the
Sure. You know, it stems from the fact that it's necessary, or it's been deemed necessary in the state, that you have to have certain aspects of our economy run by monopolies. You know, it just doesn't make sense to have multiple sets of power lines running down the street or multiple sets of water mains running down the street. So, you know, the state of Montana then grants a monopoly to a particular company. And we grant those monopolies to railroads, taxi companies, bus companies. And the agreement is that, look, we want you to be sustainable. We want you to stay in business and be able to serve people of the state, but we want you to have reasonable rates. And it's the Public Service Commissioner's job to balance those two things, keeping the business in business and yet making sure that the prices are fair and not extortionate. And, you know, in a couple of ways, we have kind of found our way into some pricing that is much higher than it should be.
Explain that a little bit if you can, or at least I know without having charts and graphs handy, but it's a...
I miss my charts. yeah. Sorry, folks, I'm a nerd, and I like my charts. But, well, for example, you know, the Public Service Commission determines what your utility rate is supposed to be, and it determines how much of or what kind of business expenses that the utility can pass on to customers. Now, an example of this is back in the early days of Northwestern Energy, they came to the state as only the grid. They only owned distribution. They were only supposed to take generated electricity and distribute it to customers. And so the PSC allowed them, and the legislature allowed them, to have a law put into place where if their generation went down, if the generator went down that was selling them power, they could take any cost that came from that, go around the PSC and put it on your bill. Now, since then, Northwestern Energy was allowed by the Public Service Commission to buy the dams, to buy generating capacity at Colstrip. So those laws were still in place. And Northwestern Energy had been taking advantage of that. In fact, what they were doing was taking some costs and defining them as outage costs and putting them straight on our bills. That shouldn't have happened. So that's one small instance of the way things have developed over the past 15 years or so that don't benefit consumers and benefit the company. I could go on, and I probably will.
But the essence of it being that the state gave them, because they were a monopoly, at least in a part of the state, I think there are two, right?
There's two major providers. That's correct, MDU and Northwestern Energy.
Yeah. They're allowed to do certain things because they are a monopoly. They, like you say, have to stay in business.
Right.
But you have to keep the rates fair.
Right.
And this was a tactic or technique that they used to get around the control by buying properties and buying things and then claiming various problems with them, and they would charge for that.
Well, yeah, what you're alluding to as well is another aspect where, as I see it, there was a sin of omission and a sin of commission. And what we're talking about here is overvaluation of assets. You know, the PSC grants the monopoly a return on equity. They get a certain percentage payment for what they own. and the PSC has approved the purchase of a number of different huge assets on by Northwestern Energy. But what's and that's fine. That's part of the job. But what has happened is that Northwestern Energy overvalued those assets. For example, the dams were probably worth about $635 million when Northwestern bought them. But there was a carbon valuation of about $275 million claimed by Northwestern that the PSC approved. They shouldn't have done that. The PSC should not have approved that. And we pay 11.5% on that value. So that's costing us tens of millions of dollars a year in overpayment. Same is true of Colstrip. You know, and I see that one as being even worse in that, you know, the company paid $187 million for Colstrip 4, for their share of Colstrip 4. They then went out and kind of shopped it around to different companies saying, hey, what's the value of this asset that we just bought? And they found a company that said, you know what? We would pay $407 million for Colstrip. And that's what Northwestern Energy brought before the PSC as the value of the asset. And that's what we pay 11.5% return on equity on every year. That's wrong. That's a sin of commission on Northwestern Energy's part. That was, you know, borderline fraud, as I say. And it's a sin of omission in that the PSC should never have approved it. And that's the kind of things that happen when we don't pay attention and when we have people in positions that really don't understand the balance between what's fair to the company and what's fair to the ratepayers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, people need to understand this is a so-called wallet issue.
Yeah.
This is money that comes out of your wallet.
Well, every month. Mm-hmm. You know, and we pay, our utilities are much higher than they should be, much higher than they need to be.
Mm-hmm. And they're also, in a sense, regressive payments because the poor people pay the same as the rich people. And, you know, they wind up taking a bigger percentage to pay off these higher fees.
Sure. And let's face it, higher utility costs affect businesses as well. You know, I was in the business of running hotels before I became a teacher, and that was a big part of my cost was utilities. Mm-hmm. So it affects, yeah, it's a wallet issue. It's not a red versus blue. It's not a left versus right. This is about what's fair.
Yeah. Yeah, it's not ideological at all.
No,
it's just a matter of fairness and what it takes to keep the company going.
Sure. But, you know, I've been pretty tough on the company, but because of what they've done, that's why I've been tough on the company. I don't want them to fail. I want them to change. I want them to treat us fairly. That's it.
Now, I think many people listening to this will have recalled from last year during a session.
Mm-hmm.
Well, not last year, but this year, there was a lot of issues involved with energy and with the coal mines and so forth.
You bet.
Could you explain a little bit of that? What was the...
Sure. So Northwestern Energy brought forward a bill that would ostensibly, what it was written to do was say, we want to purchase Colstrip 4 for a dollar. And we also want to get the high voltage wire leading out of Montana. We want a greater share of that. Now, here's the thing. They don't need the legislature to do that. But what they put in the bill was, when we buy this asset for a dollar, we want another $75 million out of our ratepayers. So basically, you know, we pay them $75 million for them to pay a buck for Colstrip 4. It's nonsense. You know, and the other part of it is that, as originally written, it was really unclear as to who's going to pay for the cleanup of Colstrip when this thing goes, when it's done. And it's going to be done at some point. And it's going to be expensive. So it was quite a struggle to kill that bill. And that was one of the reasons that I brought a lot of legislation in front of the legislature to point out some of the things that the company has done wrong in the past. You know, I brought a bill, you know, just trying to get us to reevaluate that sale of the dams, reevaluate the sale of Colstrip 4, to look at the way that rate cases are handled at who can call a rate case. I brought a lot of bills this session because I wanted us to focus as a legislature on this isn't going well. We're not being treated right. And this bill that we're being sold on Colstrip 4, this is a bill of goods that we're going to get sold again if we don't turn this down. It was a struggle, but it was worth it.
Yeah, and it, I'm sure people heard about it one way or another.
But, and they should.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about the structure of the PSC. How many members, how votes are done. I mean, how often do you meet, that kind of thing. I think people don't understand what it is, actually.
Yeah, the PSC is a full-time job, and there are five people elected from all over the state. There are five districts across the state of Montana. I'm running for District 3, which starts just from the, I have to get this right here, just from the west of Billings to just east of Missoula, and then down to the southern border. So it does include Livingston, Butte, Bozeman, Dillon, Anaconda, Butte. So five people. Currently, they are all Republicans, and that's neither here nor there. A couple of them have worked very closely with me in the legislature in the past few terms. Like I've said, it's not really a partisan issue, but they've made some pretty bad decisions. And it has come to light, too, that a lot of them don't show up for work, and that's a problem. We need people to show up, learn about the issues, and represent the people of Montana in striking a balance.
Yeah, now we've been talking about the energy aspect, which is obviously utility, sure. Monitoring the utilities important, but there are a lot more to the PSC, which I think people are unaware of.
Sure. I mean, there are more monopolies than just utilities. There's broadband. There's cell phone companies. There's taxi companies, bus companies, and the railroads. You know, and that's something that's very important to agriculture. How do you get your product out? You don't really have a choice of which railroad comes to pick it up. And so it's important that that process be handled fairly.
Yeah. Can you, let's just go through each of these areas and from the top, off the top of your head, you know, what are the main issues and, you know, why do we watch them, that kind of thing?
Sure. Well, there's pipelines as well. I mean, pipelines are monopolies, and it's important to make that the PSC makes sure that safety is handled properly. Because let's face it, you know, when you're in a corporate management position, your job is to increase your bottom line as much as possible. And what can happen in that process is you neglect maintenance. This is just a fact of life that maintenance is not sexy. It's something that has to be done by management. Oftentimes it isn't done, and it's the PSC's job to step in and say, have you done this? Have you taken care of this? And make sure that the inspectors are out there doing their job. Everybody needs to have a watchdog, and that's the PSC's job for pipelines. Same is true of railroads. You know, how well are they maintaining their tracks? That's a big deal to a lot of towns across this state. You derail a train in Mile City, that's a problem. It's a big problem anywhere because, you know, your hazmat team has got a long way to go to get there. So these are all of those kind of important issues that nobody really thinks about until a disaster happens.
Mm-hmm. Now, let's turn to, I don't know if I'd call it the flip side of the PSC's job. You're monitoring what companies do in their monopolies. Now, the thing is that their influence doesn't always stay with what they do as a primary job, so to speak, or they get into things that are not necessarily related to their primary work. Because, like you say, Northwest Energy would buy properties and would buy assets, which are debatable whether they have much to do with energy directly or not.
Right.
But there's another aspect to that, which I'll let you explain, where the influence of a company, a monopoly company, can, how should I say it, suppress something else.
You mean like legislation?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, whenever you have money, you have power. You know, and whenever you employ a lot of people, you have influence, particularly in a small town. And you know, the company of Northwestern Energy denies this, and other lobbyists will deny having the influence that they do. But the fact of the matter is, you know, after four terms in the legislature, the utility has a lot of influence over the legislature, just like the hospital lobby can twist arms. And the PSC's job is not so much being in the legislature as a lobbyist or as a witness, but I've seen an increase in that in the past couple terms. We've had a couple of activist commissioners coming to the legislature saying, look, this is something you need to pay attention to. This is something we need to work together on. And it's those kinds of relationships that I would like to continue as a PSC commissioner. You know, we're partners in managing our state and in trying to do the right thing, do the best thing. And I'd like to do that as a liaison with the legislature as a PSC commissioner.
Mm-hmm. Another aspect of this, I know this came up in the last legislative session. I won't say that Northwest Energy is exactly hostile to alternative energy.
I would.
You would?
Yeah, sure I would.
But if, you know, how does that work? I mean, I've heard you explain this before.
Sure. Well, you know, I used to think as a, in my first couple terms in the legislature, that the utility makes money by generating power and distributing power. But what I've learned is that the utility makes a lot of its money simply by owning things. You know, I mentioned this earlier, but the company gets an 11.5% return on their assets, what they own. They get paid for what they own. So, you know, the bottom line is if they don't own it, they don't get paid for it. If they don't own it, they don't want it. And so that's why, you know, Farmer Brown, who might want to put up a big solar farm on his ranch, you know, Northwestern Energy is going to discourage that because they're not going to get their 11.5%.
Yeah,
this is a tough nut,
mm-hmm.
But we have to unwind this, or we're never going to progress. You know, the fact of the matter is, this state should be much more of an energy producer than it is, mm-hmm. and a clean energy producer than it is. We are uphill from everybody else, pretty much. We've got water that runs through hydro, the sun shines, the wind blows. And we have natural gas in the eastern part of the state. So why aren't we exporting more?
Mm-hmm.
We should be.
Mm-hmm. And I would say that then what you're telling me is that it's part of what Northwestern Energy does, and I assume maybe some of the other monopolies, is they just discourage competition or any kind of alternative that they don't make money out of,
right.
Which is understandable. That's their profit motive, and that's what they do. But
that's the way it is. If they don't own it, they don't want it. And they're very good at throwing a lot of very fancy language around that theme right there. But that's it. Mm-hmm. If they don't own it, they don't make their 11.5%, they don't want it. And so I'd like to see them change, but, you know, it's going to take some doing.
Mm-hmm. Well, what you're saying, too, is that the Public Service Commission has a voice in that.
You sure do.
You know. And as long as you're not just rubber stamping everything they want, you should have a voice.
Which has all too often been the case, that the PSC has been a rubber stamp for what Northwestern wants. They shouldn't have gotten that $900 million valuation for the dams. They shouldn't have had that valuation of $407 million for Coal Strip 4. Shouldn't have happened. And we're paying a lot of money for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, again, it's money out of our pockets.
Our pockets.
It's not theoretical. This is not...
Nope. No pie in the sky here.
Problem in the 40 years from now. This is...
this is every month.
Talk out of your... comes right out of your pocket. But there's another thing, a lawsuit that was brought against the PSC by independent alternative energy providers. Can you talk a little bit about that or the...
You know, I haven't read the docket on that. You know, my understanding is that... that the solar folks feel strongly that the terms that the PSC are giving them or allowing Northwestern to impose on solar producers are meant to drive solar out. And that's the crux of it. And the fact that the judge has said, yeah, you're right about that, leads me to believe that, we've got a problem here.
Mm-hmm. So there's... I think you're making the point that the PSC is not an obscure bureaucratic something that, you know, who knows where, and it's not dealing with things that people never see and never have to deal with.
Nope.
It's
meat and potatoes kind of administration.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's boring work. It's a lot of spreadsheets. It's a lot of jargon. It's a lot of technical, just kind of cleaving through a lot of different smoke that the utilities are throwing around, and trying to work with them in forging something that's fair and reasonable. And it hasn't been done very well.
Mm-hmm. Just briefly, then, any comments about, let's say, the railroads? I know safety is an issue with railroads.
That's a big one. You know. And another one that I haven't really looked into very much, and which I would like to learn more about, are rates. You know, how fair are the rates? You know, because let's face it, rural Montana is struggling, and we're going to struggle even more under the current tariff situation. And so, my friends who are farmers and ranchers are always looking at ways that they can reduce costs and increase their revenue stream. So, what the PSC can do on that is make sure that their costs for transportation are fair. And what they can do for revenue stream is say, you know what, if you want to produce power on your land and push that into the grid, you can do that.
Mm-hmm. And not be opposed to every...
And not have a roadblock.
Bunch of legislation that's aimed at making it harder to do it.
And, yeah.
Yeah. What about telecommunications? Everybody knows about broadband by now. I mean, being sure. able to get the internet at high speed, mm-hmm. which is not a simple thing, particularly in rural areas.
Right. Rural areas are tough. It's tough to make a go of it. I mean, my understanding is that it costs about $30,000 for a mile of fiber optic cable. That for four or five customers, that just isn't going to cut it. And I'll tell a story here. In the last legislature, the industry brought forward a bill that said, we really want to increase broadband cable in rural Montana, so please give us a tax break on anything new that we put in after this date. Well, I read the bill, and what I saw in it was like, well, this doesn't specify that the cable that you're putting in is in rural Montana. So brought that question up in committee, and it's like, no, it doesn't say that, but we really want to invest in rural Montana. Well, let me get this straight. We give you a tax break on your new equipment. You're going to put it in Bozeman where the money is. You're not going to put it in rural Montana. And they couldn't really answer that very well. This is what you have to watch out for in government and in administration is things sound great. And you have to dig into, what does this really do? What is this legislation really do? How does it benefit people? Does it really do what you're saying it's mm-hmm. going to do? And all too often, it isn't. Mm-hmm. And it's because a corporation can hire really good minds. They hire smart lawyers, they hire smart marketers, and we, the people in the legislature, are at a disadvantage. That's just the way it is. And it's I'm sorry to say it, but the legislature, I love the legislature, but we are a weak body because we're just people who get thrown up there for 90 days every other year. And it's what we have to do is try to cut through the, I'm not going to say that on the radio. Mm-hmm. But, yeah.
But we all understand where animals do and things
right.
like that.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't step in.
Gumwa.
Yeah.
So the whole... I think the point, I hope people are getting the point, that the Public Service Commission is into a lot of issues
mm-hmm.
That we talk about all the time.
Right.
Broadband, energy, travel, many, many things. And you are very much responsible for the tone and how much money they get and who they support and don't support. All that is, it's a pretty broad mandate, I guess, would be the word.
Yeah, it's a big job.
Mm-hmm. And the state legislature is not in a position to do it.
No. No, the legislature makes laws, and there are times when there needs to be a change in the law that the PSC can't do. And, I've been active in that aspect of utility regulation, trying to change the laws. And I'd like to continue that as a member of the PSC. Now that I know about how things are done and where some of the bodies are buried, I'd like to make this process a little more fair, actually a lot more fair.
You mentioned, you know, where the bodies are buried. Now, we don't necessarily get into unearthing things here, but could you elaborate a little bit about what you mean by that? And I'm assuming rate issues might be something like that.
Well, yeah. You know, what I found very questionable, you know, aside from the way that property tax increases are handled and outage costs are tracked or handled, what I've found is that it's really unclear in the code who can call for a rate case. Who can say, hey, we need to make sure that these utility rates are fair. And actually, the PSC cannot call a rate case, that's what the claim is. Right. So the PSC can't say, your rates are too high, come in for a rate case.
That's an eye-opener. I would think they would be the obvious one to do that.
Well, there you go, being logical and reasonable. Mm-hmm. That's not the way it is. The way the code can be read is that only the utility can call for a rate case if they feel their rates are too low. So I brought a bill in the last session that said, hey, this is not okay. And it passed through the House, I think it was 98-2. And it was killed in the Senate by the Senate Energy Committee. Because, as I see it, and this is conjecture on my part, just conjecture, but Northwestern really wanted to get that $75 million out of the Colstrip bill. So they said, either you kill this bill or we're going to pull out of this Colstrip bill. That's my guess. Mm-hmm. Now, another really interesting thing about rate cases is that the utility doesn't really have to prove that its rates are reasonable. It doesn't have to show its costs. Or at least the way it had been done in this current rate case is Northwestern Energy showed up at the PSC with boxes and boxes and boxes of papers and said, here's our costs, you guys figure it out. That's not cool. Mm-hmm. That's not reasonable. Look, if you're going to do business as a monopoly, you need to show the Public Service Commission that what your costs are. That's reasonable. Mm-hmm. And so I brought a bill that said the burden of proof in a rate case lies on the utility to prove that their costs are reasonable, to show their costs. That bill also was killed on the floor of the House, arm twisting as I see it. Mm-hmm. It's not okay. Yeah. This is not the way that we should have monopolies run.
So let me get this straight. If you're a consumer of electricity or any utility, whatever, mm-hmm. and you think that you're being overcharged, you can't, individually, I assume you can't do anything.
That's correct. Yeah. An individual, you can't protest. Mm-hmm. And the PSC, more importantly, the PSC can't say, these rates are too high, you need to come in and prove that they're not too high. And that's, I mean, if we're going to have regulated monopolies, then darn it, let's regulate them.
Mm-hmm. So, and then the other thing that sticks out is that if you're a monopoly mm-hmm. and you are regulated, mm-hmm. that you would think that making a case for, you know, we're good, we are not overcharging, we're getting what we need to make a profit, would be your basic public responsibility.
Right? You would think.
Instead of handing you 20 boxes worth of paper
right.
and saying, you figure it out.
That's the thing that I find really disheartening and kind of astonishing is like, look, nobody has a problem with the utility making a fair profit. I don't have a problem with that. Just let's make it fair. Why do you have to cash that extra $10, $20 million out of people? You know, it's just the end does not justify the means. This is just play fair. This mm-hmm. is Montana. Play fair.
Mm-hmm. I would assume that another question follows from that. Okay, they make these profits. What do they do with them?
Well, they're a corporation. They distribute them. One of the things they do is they distribute them to their shareholders, which is what a corporation should do. They pay their CEO quite a bit of money, close to right around $3 million a year or so. And they also spend a lot of money on TV and radio and billboards to convince us what a great company they are. That's our money they're spending to convince us what a great job they're doing. That shouldn't be an allowable expense. They should have to pay that off with shareholder money, not ratepayer money.
Another body.
Buried.
Buried. Do you go, is there a primary process for this, or is
there is. It's potential I could have a primary opponent, and I would anticipate that the company is going to find somebody to run against me because, you know, after four terms of me being their gadfly, they really don't want me to be on the Public Service Commission. I don't blame them.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so there will be something to vote on in the primaries, and then again in the fall.
In the general. That's, I anticipate that, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So that's something that we hope in the as we go along here too to keep people informed about how these races are evolving and what kind of elections will happen and so forth. So, I really appreciate you taking the time coming in here and talking about this. I hope maybe as we get closer to the elections, you might make another visit and see how things are going.
Yeah, this is fun. This is a great room. Folks out there who can't see it, I would have killed to have a room like this in high school.
He's talking about all the artwork and gear that hangs from every square foot in here.
And there's a Fender over there and a Marshall. Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Anyway, Tom, thank you very much.
Well, my pleasure.
Big thank you to Tom Woods, candidate for the Public Service Commission. Love these kind of interviews where they can tell you what they have on their mind and how they got to have that opinion. And in his case, very knowledgeable about the issues at hand. What did you think, Stixie?
Well, I think, first of all, I think we're really lucky that we have someone with Tom's experience who is willing to take a seat on the Public Service Commission. And, you know, hopefully people will learn more about what the Public Service Commission does, and we'll be a lot more informed when they cast a vote for that seat.
Yeah, I think that's kind of the whole idea of some of these interviews, is that we're going to highlight positions like the Public Service Commission, or let's say the Secretary of State, who actually do things that affect people, and yet we don't know much about the position, and we know even less about the candidates and the people who we're supposedly going to vote for. And now there's two sets of votes. I mean, first you have the primaries in June of next year, and then
June 2nd.
Yeah, and then the general election in November. And these candidates, some of them will still be around, and the more you know about them, the better and more, how shall I say it, more enlightened you can be about who to vote for. So that's our big goal.
I think with the Public Service Commission, I think that's probably one of the most ignored or misunderstood or even unknown entities in Montana state government. And yet they have offices in Helena. They have a staff of about 30 people. They supposedly meet once a week, although many of the current, particularly the current Public Service Commissioners, don't bother to show up for those meetings. So it's become completely dysfunctional. And I think someone like Tom can certainly bring a lot more
involvement.
Yes. I don't know what were, he could just improve it 100% simply by showing up. But someone with his background, I think, would be a real asset for the citizens of Montana.
Well, keep in mind what we're saying here is that some of these obscure commissions, and they really shouldn't be obscure, have more to do with your pocketbook and the way you live and the very things that affect your day-to-day life very often more than anybody in Washington.
Yep. It's very, very true.
So thank you very much for listening. Hope you'll join us in a couple of weeks. This has been a podcast Runs Through It. Thanks to Dixie Hart, co-host, and Stuart Nelson, Jerry Cole, Cynthia Hills. And until next time, this has been Nelson King. See ya.